Welcome back to EcoTalk, a discussion about Southern New England's economy, ecology, and ecosystems, hosted by Shannon Brawley and Sam Elwell. I'm Sam.
And I'm Shannon. And today we're going to talk about a place working to make their neighborhood healthier and more sustainable every day. The Barrington Farm School is exactly what the name implies. Located in Barrington, Rhode Island, the farm focuses not only on growing fresh crops for the community, but also educating kids and adults alike on how to make their environment thrive.
Our team had the opportunity to go to the Barrington Farm School and talk to volunteers there who united here from a number of different backgrounds. Students, educators, scientists, environmental enthusiasts, and more all combined their efforts to make the Barrington Farm School a unique hands-on learning experience.
I talked to Barrington Farm School founder Tim Faulkner first.
When was the Barrington Farm School started?
That's a little bit unclear, but about 2015.
What made you want to start it?
Great question. I think it really kind of fell together as a number of different circumstances that were sort of happening at the same time. I was the president of the board of the Barrington Land Conservation Trust, you know, which protects open space in Barrington. And I came upon this area, this farm, which I had really not even known about much growing up in Barrington. But just knocked on the door of the owner, said, hey, you know, would you, this land you'd like to protect, did you ever think about, you know, what's the kind of future vision for it? Would you think it, and then, I don't know, because it's so close to so many schools, or within walking distance of five schools, that maybe we could try and look at making it a place for students to come and, you know, work on growing and learn about farming.
What is the mission of the Barrington Farm School, and what are your goals?
You know, the short version of the mission is to get your hands in the dirt. The longer mission, which I haven't memorized, but is really to create a space that members of the community of all ages and sort of backgrounds and abilities can come here and learn about growing, just kind of appreciate the environment, learn about food, learn about sustainable growing. Those are the goals, I think, that we have. We didn't put together a mission or like a five-year plan and a vision until about a year ago or less. It's been more of a vision, but now it's really becoming a more of a written down plan where we can think about programs that are more structured and permanent.
What kind of programs do you use here?
So there's a number of different programs. A lot of it is sort of learning through doing. It's you know, kind of experiential. It's not your traditional kind of sit down classroom with desks and classrooms, but we have kind of like, you know, one giant classroom, which is the farm.
Later, I also got to talk to Karen Seal, a volunteer and educator from Barrington herself.
What work do you do here at the Barrington Farm School?
Well, initially when I started in November, I just started with the compost crew. And through the winter, I worked with them flipping compost and producing more of it. And at the same time, I was trying to learn about the place. And I like to do projects. So I have, since I got here, worked with a high school boy creating a nature trail, which you can see as you walk through the property, and it goes all the way down across the waterway and it loops around. Our hope is that we can mark a trail, you know, measure it so people can come here not only to buy vegetables and see it, but maybe walk your dog or see nature. And then, you know, also with children coming through, we're going to add more interesting things with labeling it. That's one project. The compost area, I like design a lot everywhere. I was a teacher in my classrooms were the prettiest and most, you know, deluxe. And so I'm trying to help the farm be a little bit prettier. And so I helped to build some compost bins, as you'll see. And then they're building more, like, so we have a station where it's the done compost to come out on the fields. We fixed a shed, a tree fell on it in the fall. The winds are wicked here, and I helped with that. And so it's more small projects. I volunteered to paint this thing and picked colors with people, and it's... I'm hoping that the weather's better so we can get it done so we can have a better look. I think it'll help not only with what we're doing. I mean, what is it, 95% of we judge each other by what we look like. But the buildings and the structures and the, you'll see there's piles everywhere. So I'm the one that goes around picking them up. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. And the people, especially the compost crew, we have a lot of laughs and a lot of fun, and you get healthier. I've lost weight since I started here. I feel like, you know, my guns are getting bigger. You know, I feel spots of me that I didn't for a while. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
You lose weight fast doing this kind of work.
How did you find out about the volunteer opportunity here?
I sent an email. I had heard about it through my insurance people, because I retired in June. I said, I don't know what to do. I miss being with kids. I want to be with kids in nature. And the person told me about here. And then, so I called, I wrote an email, met Tim, and just thought this place was very cool. And most, everybody's pretty down to earth. We're really trying to make a difference, build a community, take care of the planet, which you guys have to help with, because my generation really screwed it up.
Has working here changed your perspective or any knowledge about the local environment?
Yeah, well, as far as, you know, the community of Barrington, I've learned a lot of the historical pieces, like the Italian, and there's a lot of Italian people that immigrated in this town. I've learned about the bricks, that the Barrington bricks are famous for from over 100 years ago. There's a lot of things like just about that, as well as the community, people. I'm going to be starting with a small group and another teacher. We're going to do a nature series. They're homeschooled children, 5 to 9 year olds. We start end of April, and we're going to have 7 or 8 sessions where they come during the day with their moms, and because we're educators, we're going to teach them about the farm, you know, the life cycle. I raise hens, so I'm going to bring in my baby chicks as well as my older girls, teach them about that. We're going to learn about the habitats on the farm, and hopefully somehow, I haven't done all the details, but we're going to teach them about habitats and biomes, and we're go through, you know, 7 or 8 different lessons, but in a fun fashion,
yeah,
in the farm way. That's what I was mostly interested in, working with children in nature. And I got sidetracked with cleaning a farm in Barrington.
Well, are there any other projects that you're working on here?
No, but I have a big list in my head.
Future plans?
Yeah.
What are those?
Well, the you'll see the compost area. There's another section of it that really needs to be tidied, fixed, to make it more uniform and efficient and functional, but not built out of broken down wood and scraps, that you can actually make it look and function better, be safer for visitors. I want to, in the fall, hopefully, make a patio area with another man that's a former teacher. There's a brick area, and it's all like this, and so we can have a sitting area for the workers, the people that volunteer. You know, maybe have a fire pit at night and do potlucks, so there's more social time, too, with the people that are here. Those are a couple.
I also had the opportunity to speak with some of the student volunteers at the farm.
I'm Tommy Ferrosi, and I'm from Barrington, Rhode Island.
I'm Lori Garcia, and I'm also from Barrington, Rhode Island.
How did you hear about working here at the Barrington Farm?
So, I'm actually president of Barrington High School's National Honor Society, and when I got elected into that role, I had been speaking with my advisor about how I could bring service opportunities to students in the organization, and Barrington Farm School came up, and I really thought that this was an amazing opportunity, not only for myself to get out there and help the community, but also to allow my peers to also come out and help.
I live like right by the Barrington Farm School, and for many years I would like drive by this like, you know, huge and amazing land, and I was always kind of like wondering what was in there. And so then one day I kind of just saw that they were like looking for volunteers on their website, and I just decided to jump right in because I was like really excited and like excited for the opportunity.
And how has Barrington Farm changed your perspective or knowledge about local environments?
It really helps me connect with nature when I'm here, and it gives me a really strong appreciation for what people like Gail and Tim do in bringing the community together in a way to help our local environment prosper.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, it's just really, it's a great way to, like, really get outside, get involved in nature, and also, like, help the community, too. Here at the Farm School, they donate to Tap In and Progreso Latino, I think it is. And it's just, like, honestly just a great way to connect with your community, connect with nature, and really learn something new. It's been really an amazing opportunity.
And what kind of projects here have you been involved with?
A lot of different projects, from building the house over here to composting, building structures to hold our compost, to building structures to help plant and cover crops. Really, a lot of different things.
Spreading out mulch, building tomato tunnels, other structures like that. And yeah, really everything. They really try to get you to get a variety and really reach your full potential of learning here at the Farm School.
Now, we are here in the studio with Barrington Farm Board of Directors President Ron Pitt to discuss more about the Barrington Farm School's past and future making a difference in their community.
Welcome to EcoTalk, Ron. It's great to talk to you. Can you tell us a little about how this whole project started?
Yes, certainly. So the land that we farm was a family farm for 100 years, owned by the Venditulli farm, the Venditulli family. And when the senior Venditulli member passed away, the family wanted to maintain it as farmland. And so a group of people formed a nonprofit, the Barrington Farm School, 501c3, raised the money to buy the farmland. And that it was then purchased by the Barrington Land Conservation Trust and is now leased to the nonprofit Barrington Farm School. So it would have been, it's very valuable land in Barrington. It would have been developed with probably single family homes. It is now maintained as farmland and is being farmed. In that context, it's a nonprofit. We're not there to make money. We're not a commercial farm. We're there to build community and to connect people to the land and provide educational programming.
How long have you been with Barrington Farm?
I started as a member of the board of directors in January 2020. But the farm school is very young. So really, as an organization, it really started in 2018. 2019 was really the first year of production. 2020 is the first year we actually had a financial report. It's really still very much in the growing, nascent stage.
So what kind of work do you do at the farm?
As a member of the board of directors, you do a little bit of everything. It's kind of like a startup. The board of directors is charged with maintaining the sustainability of the farm, overseeing the direction, managing it from a global perspective, looking at finances, looking at the overall operation. But as board members, we get down and dirty with the dirt, and that's because we want to do that. So we get involved in every aspect of the crops, the harvesting, sales, interfacing with the public, building the infrastructure, all of those things. As board president, I'm spreading compost and I'm pulling up weeds, and we do that as volunteers.
Right. So how do you get these volunteers to come? How do you promote the farm to bring in more volunteers?
We have a big social media presence. So we use the usual outlets of Facebook and Instagram. We have a weekly newsletter that goes out to several hundred people. We use that to encourage people to come out. And then we try to maintain our visibility physically in the town and nearby. We also build a lot of community connections so that people know about us in the Rhode Island area. And I can talk a little bit more about that. But for example, this afternoon, there's a Barrington Farmers Market. Now, Barrington doesn't usually have a farmers market, but Barrington Business Association is running 3 farmers markets this summer just to highlight local vendors. And so we're participating in that primarily just for the visibility of getting out, getting people to be aware of us and drawing people in, inviting them in.
So how do you think the farm has impacted your local community so far?
That's a really great question. So I think the number one thing we would do is say, how many people are we touching? How many people are involved in some aspect of the farm? So we have kind of a core group of volunteers who are there daily, weekly, but we draw in about 100 people every year to do some aspect of the farming. Then we have many more people visit the farm stand. Then we have events. Then we also communicate through social media. We collaborate with organizations. I can talk a little bit more about that. And then we really invite a lot of students in. So we have college students. We've had other Roger Williams students, by the way, work with the farm and do some architectural work. We've had Brown students doing quite a bit. They helped run an educational program this winter. And there's a Brown University intern from the Swearer Center that's doing some social media work for us this summer. We had a student from Wheaton do something last. And then we have high school students from around the area. They have all kinds of needs. They have to do service for like National Honor Society. They have to do senior projects. They're always looking for stuff to do. Eagle Scouts and all of that.
What are your future goals or plans for the farm?
Yeah, so that's a great question. A couple of winters ago, we underwent our first ever strategic plan. And that laid out the major areas in which we want to make progress. I would say that some of the highest priorities are to expand our educational programs. We're talking about formalizing them with like a certificate program, something that will give people who come out and learn about farming credentials. We're also always looking to expand our volunteer base, organize it better, and create some better reward and recognition system for what the volunteers do on the farm. And they do everything on the farm. And then we want to grow our donation program. So donation is a two-way street. We solicit donations. We get quite a bit of monetary donations and grants. But mostly what we want to do is donate more of our food to people in need. We have a couple ways we do that. There's an organization called Tappan, one of our partners, Touch a Person in Need. They have a food pantry. They deliver food to families who are experiencing food insecurity in the East Bay area. So last year we donated about 25% of our produce to them. We also have a relationship with Progreso Latino in Central Falls. I don't know if you know them, but it's a fantastic social service organization. They have a food pantry. And so for the last few years, we've been collecting non-perishables and bringing them to Progreso Latino once a week. It's a big operation. What we provide them is not even a drop in the bucket, but it's a really, really lovely organization and a fantastic community, and we just really love having connection to them.
What have been some of the difficulties keeping the farm operating, and how have you improved upon them going forward?
I would say the biggest challenge, it's a strength, but it's also a challenge, is that we rely so much on volunteers. We are primarily a volunteer organization. We depend on the goodwill of volunteers to show up, to do all of the things, to be involved, take responsibilities. That's a great thing. But volunteers have other priorities, other things in their lives. Things come up. And so maintaining a sort of continuity of presence in all the different areas, including the leadership of all the different areas with volunteers, is always a challenge. Like I say, we're a young organization. We're still getting ourselves established, but it's part of our strategic plan to formalize that in some way and kind of stabilize our volunteer. By the way, one of our future plans has to do with the physical facility. We have something called a master plan also, which has to do with, well, you probably know what it is, but it's just to do with the physical layout. And one of the key goals there is to increase accessibility for people with disabilities. So we have a lot of plans around that. And then we also partner with the Natural Resources Conservation Service, which is an offshoot of the USDA. And they're going to provide us with funding for a second water well. We use groundwater and some irrigation lines. So they'll help fund that. That's big for us.
Could you touch a little more on some of the organizations you work with?
Yeah, so I mentioned Progreso Latino. That's really, I would say, a beautiful relationship. Tappan, which is our donation. There's a Barrington Garden Club, which is we also work with. And I would say another big collaborator is the town of Barrington itself. So part of our operation is not just to grow food, but also collect food scraps. We compost the food scraps on site, and then we spread it on the fields. So in this way, we're not using chemical fertilizers or pesticides or even any kind of tillage. And that enriches the soil. Last year, our composting operation collected 23 tons of food waste. Now, this is all done by hand, and they weigh every single bucket full. So we know exactly how much we did. The town of Barrington has partnered with us to provide funding for a second drop-off point. Currently, people drop it off at the farm stand. Now they've funded one, given us an electric bicycle that we can use to transport food waste on the other side of town. And so now we're able to collect more food waste that way. So the government agencies have been great. The Rhode Island Energy helped fund our solar panel, and the Natural Resources Conservation Service, National Grid has a community fund that they've given us money from. So those are also really good relationships that we try to cultivate.
What other projects you have? Like, you mentioned the solar panel. Is there anything else big like that that you're working on currently?
Yeah. Well, let me just say what's happened in just the last two growing seasons. Two growing seasons ago, we didn't have any electricity. We weren't connected to the grid. You need electricity, like lights, the water pump. We had a generator, you know, a gas generator to generate electricity to run the water pump. That's extremely unsustainable, noisy, creates pollution. So we were able to connect to the electric grid and then put up, with grant funding, a 3-kilowatt solar panel. That solar panel produces, we have net metering, so we know it produces more electricity than we use. That's been a huge change. We have this water pump that's above ground, so we built a 12-month pump house. So now we have 12-month supply of water. It's like a little heated house. And then that's allowed us to run water lines to different areas and do irrigation and to expand our growing season effectively. So one of the other big projects we did in the last year was to put up this thing called a high tunnel. Now, a high tunnel looks like a greenhouse, the difference being that the plants are not grown up on, you know, standing bins. They're planted in the soil in the ground. And so that thing is incredible. It's like a science fiction experiment when you go in there. You know, you can be up there in April, there's giant tomato plants and huge leaves of spinach. And so it expands your ability to grow during the year. Also this year, we put up a deer fence. And then last but not least, this sounds funny, but we, with grant funding and some help from an Eagle Scout, we have a composting toilet. Now, it doesn't sound like a big thing, but when we have visitors from far away, that's one of the key things that we need. It's a limiting factor if you don't have a toilet facility. So now we have that, and it's a sustainable system that we use, composting toilet. As far as future projects, I think one of the big things we want to do is put in what we call a learning garden. It's a sensory garden. It's for people with disabilities, and we think it'll really be a beautiful addition and add to our ability to expand the reach of the farm and the people that we serve.
So what are your hopes for future impacts on the community, and what can other people learn about the work you do at the farm?
I think that our hope is to be more and more visible and to reach as far away from Barrington as we can. So we've talked about the fact that we're the Barrington Farm School. We're not limited to Barrington. We're not a commercial farm, and we're not actually a K-12 or a college school. So in some ways, every single word of that is not correct. But put them together, it kind of does say what we want to do, which is to reach the community, the broader community, connect with the community of local growers, help people understand and learn how to grow food, healthy food, sustainable food, and connect with each other around this issue of food. Food is one thing that every single person on this planet cares about. So much of human culture is centered around food. It's one of the things that unites us. And we feel we have a role in bringing people together over this concept of healthy food, organically grown food, not only how to produce it themselves, but also how to use it in a way that maximizes the value of that food.
And is there anything else you'd like to add? Let the listeners know.
I really applaud the work that you're doing, and I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you today and to have you come in and look at the farm. And just thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on and talking about the farm with us.
Thank you to Ron Pitt and everyone from the Barrington Farm School for joining us on this episode of Eagle Talk. For our next episode, we will have a special segment for our listeners, where we will be working with high school students participating in the Society of Professional Journalists High School Summer Journalism Institute here at Roger Williams University. We will be discussing their experiences and future journalism programs for students and teachers.
EcoTalk is a co-production of EcoRI News and the Communities of Hope Journalism Program at Roger Williams University, hosted by Shannon Brawley and Sam Elwell. Our chief editor is Frank Carini, and our executive producer is Bernardo Mata. Our production and reporting team includes Will Nichols, Jocelyn Jackson, Jack Aviles, with additional reporting from Andrew Hart and James Sadowski. Emily Rosen is the news production manager. The music was made by Shannon Brawley.
Listen for us on your favorite streaming service. See you in the next episode.